Good afternoon, everyone. It's that time again. The time for Living the Good Life on this wonderful radio station, TANTALKNETWORK.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministries weekly show, now in our 10th year, almost ready to complete 10 years. Amazing. Love it. So excited to be on the air week after week with you all. God blesses every single week. And we never know exactly what he's going to do or how he's going to do it. But you know what? He does it. And it's amazing. And we look forward to every single show. Joining me today are going to be Megan and Cindy. And then Betty's going to tag in toward the end of the show. And we've got like 9 different radio team members now, which is great. And so they share responsibilities weekly coming on the air with me. And we have a schedule and it's fun and they love it. And I know they probably feel very blessed to be a part of it because I know I do. Being able to spread the word of God on a weekly basis is truly amazing. And we live in a free country and we're able to freely talk about what God is doing in our lives. Boy, those women right before us, aren't they amazing? We love them. And they just tell it like they see it and give out the word of God weekly. If you didn't tune in till just now, go ahead from now on and try tuning in at 2:30 because that's a powerful show and you don't want to miss what the word of God is saying to us every week. So, we're excited about all that God is doing. We are seeing many, many answers to prayer. We are seeing God move mightily in so many people, and that's what it's all about. And so consistently, that's a good word right there, faithfully, consistently, we are bringing the Word of God to you week after week. We do this because we believe that the Word of God needs to get out there as much as possible. We are not doing it for any other reason than to spread the word of God and to tell people about all the amazing blessings that we have in our relationship with the Lord. And so there's Megan, I believe. Megan, is that you on the air with me right now?
Pastor Marcia, it is me. Hi.
Hi, Meg. Hey, it's good to hear your voice. You're Betty's daughter. You're part of our radio team and have been for a long time. And you were actually about 9 years old when your parents started coming to my church in Indiana, correct? Long time ago. Weren't you about 9?
Yeah, I think 8 or 9 years old. It has been a long time. It doesn't seem like it has, but it has.
Oh, my, yes. And God has done so much in all of our lives through those years. And it's so cool how he brings very special people into our lives, and they stay in our lives. You know, that's really cool. To have known you all these years because you're a mother of 3 and you're getting up there in years, aren't you, Meg? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting right up there, Pastor. I'm getting right up there.
Yeah, not really. But
not
anyway,
really,
no. Isn't God amazing, and has he not been answering so many prayers?
Oh, amen. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. That's
amen.
My favorite saying from the movie God's Not Dead. And,
right.
You know, even though there's days where we have struggles, you know, he still puts a smile on my face through the trials because He's just so full of love and so full of grace and so full of peace.
Oh, amen. And, you know, he's up to stuff all the time, isn't he? Do you know what I mean by that? I mean,
I do.
Yeah.
He's always working behind the scenes. He's like the guy down in the orchestra pit at the opera.
Oh.
Directing the, you know, the play.
Yes.
He's down there. Sometimes you don't see him, sometimes you don't hear him, but he's always working it out for our good.
Amen. It's a joy to be able to serve the Lord. And I was just saying right before you came on, it is such a joy to be able to serve the Lord with this medium of radio. And we tried something new this week, didn't we?
We did. And it was really cool. I loved it. You did Facebook Live on the Bible study. It was awesome. And you did it for Go Yard, too.
Well, for Go Yard, that's our life coaching show on Thursday nights. We did it for about 10 minutes. And we're not going to make a habit of that on Go Yard because it kind of, you know, interrupts the flow of what we're doing and people calling in and all that. But on Wednesday night Bible study, we are going to, yes, make a habit of that. We've had amazing, amazing response. At to date, right now, we're like 715, 18 views of that 7-minute clip, which totally amazes me. It really does, Megan.
Oh, it's a blessing from the Lord that it's reached that many people in not even a week's time.
Right.
And, you know, the more you do it, the more that it'll be spread and that everybody will come on and see the ones that you've done in the past. So it'll get shared even more.
Well, that's what it's all about. So if you did pick that up, go ahead and share it on your page. If you didn't, it's easy to find. Just go to my Facebook page. And my name is spelled a little weird, but M-A-R-C-I-A. McAllister is M-C capital A. L-L-I-S-T-E-R, and you'll find the post right there. And if you need to friend me, do that. And we want you to be involved. We want you to be involved. We're hearing from a lot of people, Megan, and really a lot of good comments this week from that 7 minutes. And it's amazing to me that 7 minutes can speak to our hearts. That just seems like such a small time. We're on the air on Sunday afternoon for 2 hours, but I am so excited that we can take small clips and be talking about Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And you know, it doesn't take much to have the Lord speak to your spirit.
Right.
And to get your attention. And that's the great thing. And you know, there's always something in those little segments or on this 2-hour radio show that speaks to a multitude of people. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to be disciples for the Lord. We're here to spread his presence and his peace and his goodness.
Amen. Go ahead.
It's awesome how we have this social media to be able to use it in this manner. It's just absolutely wonderful.
It really is. I mean, there's so many changes that have occurred in technology, say in the last 10 years, it's just almost crazy.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think Facebook is like 10 years old. But to get to this new platform of live Facebook is really great. It really is. It's something that we've gotten a lot of great comments about. And looking forward to the future and what God's going to do with technology. And, you know, I think one of the lessons for me being of an older generation, your mother's generation, let's say it that way. I mean, we're not old. We're just ripe, right? We're just we didn't grow up with this kind of stuff. And so we knew spreading the gospel as in the form of a missionary who goes personally to a country or a pastor who stands in a pulpit or an evangelist who preaches in a football stadium or something like that. This is all very new for so many people, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, even though it may be something that feels strange or hard to figure out, once you figure it out, you got it. Or find somebody to help you figure it out because it's pretty self-explanatory. And the cool thing is if you're friends with Pastor Marcia, it will give you, Facebook will send you a notification when you actually go live. So
I heard that. Somebody told me that yesterday, and I didn't realize that, Megan,
that's awesome.
If they're my friend, and I've got several hundred, that they will get a notification at that moment, which will be Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, we're going to try to start at a consistent time so people get used to it. 7:30 Wednesday night, going for about 10 or 12 minutes is our goal. This was 7 minutes. We had too many comments saying, let's go longer. So, you know, that's what we're going to try this week. 7:30 And yes, did you have anything else you wanted to say about that before we start this first song, which is going to be amazing?
No, you go right ahead and let that music run, girl.
All right. Chris Tomlin, Spirit Fall. I love this song. And this is what we want for this program today.
Amen.
Spirit Fall. We want God to get done what he wants done in this segment of time. We're just his willing vessels. This is your prayer. Spirit Fall, that's our prayer. That's our prayer this day. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to talk about you and your precious word today. Lord, we just ask that you are magnified today through our music, through what we talk about, through the word of God being taught. And we thank you, Lord, that we have ears that hear the word that the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And there was a verse I put on the paper I sent to you, Megan, and to Cindy, about what God wants for us is that we live in a deep consciousness of God. You remember that verse I wrote on the email to you, Megan?
Yes, ma'am.
And there's a reason for that, because so often I think people are just casually aware of God, or they know that it would be good to pray when they get into problems, but as far as relationship and having a deep awareness and a deep consciousness, I propose that a lot of people don't have much of a deep consciousness and awareness of God. You want to comment on that?
Absolutely. I believe that having a deep consciousness of God is something that you grow on, something that you learn on,
okay,
something that can be self-taught and also taught through going to church and through Bible study.
Sure.
Because, you know, we learn of God's existence and of God's history through reading the Bible.
Right.
And we also learn it through prayer. We also learn it in how we live our life on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Of how we walk around and how our demeanor is towards other people.
Exactly.
And, you know, God is such a deep, deep being. And, you know, we'll never fully have a grasp of exactly how he is. I know that we won't until we get to heaven.
Right.
But we can sure try here on earth. We can sure really push ourselves to get into the Word and to go to church and to listen to people's testimonies about how the Lord has changed their life and how he's impacted things that have happened, their circumstances.
Absolutely.
That, to me, is how we get a deeper consciousness of the Lord.
We do. That you're exactly right. And as we begin to develop a relationship, that's the word that I think is extremely important here, because so often our relationships are with people or with our phone or with our job or, you know, stuff like that. But as far as that relationship with God, I think a lot of people don't have that deep desire to have a relationship that grows over time, and where you're getting to know God and his ways and who he is and what he wants to do in your life. And he is talking to you. And so many people feel like God can't talk to them unless they're a pastor or evangelist or something like that. Talk to me about that relationship concept, Megan.
You know, I totally disbelieve that. You don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist to hear from the Lord.
Right.
You have, you know, the way you hear the Lord is that we talk to him and then we have open ears to listen.
Right.
That we are not self-absorbed, that our ego is not so big that we don't allow him to come in, or that our pride is not so swollen that our eardrums, our spiritual eardrums, are shut down.
Yeah, good point.
You know, it happens. It happens. We get caught up in the earth. We get caught up with people in our life that drag us down. We get caught up in caring about just ourselves and being selfish.
Yes.
And we need to learn to be selfless.
Yes.
So that we can coexist as a partnership with God.
Amen.
So that we can walk the spiritual walk here on the earth.
Absolutely. It's a relationship. Yes. And we do talk about this a lot. In fact, there's many shows that we get to a point in the show where we ask people to make a commitment if they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And we say, follow along in the prayer that we're going to pray. Pray this prayer and begin your relationship with God. Because it's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. Talk to me, Megan.
Absolutely. You can know of the Lord. You can believe in him. But there's a much deeper relationship available to you. And I mean that on a spiritual level. And people may not understand what I'm saying. What I mean by that is, like, take it as someone that's your closest friend, your husband, whoever you're close with. It's that type of relationship that you can't live without that person. You can't live you can't take a breath without them. Well, that's how you can be with God. That's how God wants to coexist with you.
Right.
He wants to be right in front of you, right beside you, and right behind you at all times. And it's us allowing that to happen on a deeper level than just knowing of him. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right. And because of that, if we develop that kind of deep relationship with God, and that's what this program is all about, it really is, helping you develop that, helping you see your need for that relationship with God, helping you develop it, helping you realize that you can hear from God. He does speak to us. And also helping you realize that he wants to be involved in your daily life. He wants to help you through the storms you're going through. You're just your daily go to work, come home, cook dinner type life. He wants to be involved with your thought life. He wants to be available to you at all times. He's your friend that walks beside you, with you, whatever. I've got a couple little, doggy buddies, Zoe Grace and Macklin Grace. Now, actually, they both have the middle name Grace. And by the way, what's your daughter's name, Megan?
That would be Zoe Grace.
That would be Zoe Grace. So we kind of like that thing, that Zoe thing, which means life. And we kind of like that Grace thing, which is that, that favor that we have with God, his goodness. And they're with me, walking around the house when I'm working from home. They're walking, whatever they're doing. They're in the house. They're part of my life. I know where they are usually at any given time in the house, because the house isn't that big, or the porch or wherever. They're right there. And now Macklin, believe it or not, Megan, this is cool. This last week, she's getting to the point she really knows her name, and she's responding. And when I say Baby Mac or Macklin, she's got a lot of names, or Macadoodle or Macaroni or Macaroni or whatever her name is, she's starting. That's so confusing for kids when we give them so many names, don't you think?
Hey, I do the same thing. My daughter and my son have multiple names.
Yes, they do.
But you know what? They learn them all, and they answered all of them.
There you go. And God knows our names. Cindy, are you on the air with us?
Hi, girls. I am.
Hi. So good to hear your voice.
Okay?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, it was a little weak there. So speak again.
I'm on my house phone. I'm trying to get to a location where I have a good signal.
Okay. All right. Yes, it's good
All
to hear
right.
your voice.
I'll stay right here where I'm at.
Yeah, that's
Me,
better.
Oh, so glad to be here. I haven't been on in a while, and I've really
right.
missed it.
So. Yes. Yes.
It's a pleasure to be here with you ladies.
We know you're in a new job and things are going well, and we also know that you've got, like all of us, things going on in your lives that have made it difficult for you lately.
Yes, there have been a lot of fiery darts thrown at me lately,
right.
And trying to stay on top of that and above it and do the good things that God has given me in my life and blessed me with, like going to the new job and getting promoted, and
very good.
The blessings keep coming, so that makes my focus is on what God is doing for me, which gives me the power to stay above what the devil at the same time is trying to do in my life.
Absolutely. And, we never get on the air, Cindy, Megan, and say, if you serve the Lord, you never have any problems. It's not like that at all. In fact, I mentioned that in our little clip on Facebook the other night, that there are benefits to problems because we learn a lot through the struggle. And we're going to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're talking about here the wife of a man. Do either of you have the Message Bible, by the way, with you?
I'm not in the Message Bible, but I have actually been working with a Oxford NRV Bible
okay.
that
All right.
I used in school, so I
okay, NIV,
found that in the box the other day.
Yeah, NIV's fine. That's what I have. I accidentally walked out the door without my Message Bible, so that's why I asked. So we might need to pull that up here in a little while. But in this first passage in 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Now, there were a group of people who were used to ministering in Israel at this time. They were called prophets. And her husband had been one of those, but he had died. And so Elisha evidently was coming through town, and she knew him, and he knew her. And because she said to him, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." Okay? And you know that he revered the Lord. So this is a relationship Elisha had with this man, okay? This was her husband. He was a good man. He was a prophet, and he loved God, But she says here in verse 1 of 2 Kings 4, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. So what we can surmise from this is that this man, being a good man, and nevertheless, left her with debt. Now, and that's not unusual, is it, in all of our life, whether you're living Bible times or you live right now, it's easy to have debt. And this man had left her debt. And in verse 2 of 2 Kings 4, Elisha replies to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? I find this fascinating. First of all, he offers to help, right? And I think so often we don't do that. Somebody tells us a story of woe or something going on in their lives, and we just feel sorry for them, but we don't go the extra mile and say, how can I help you? Can I pray for you? Can I talk to me about that, Cindy, right now? And I'll talk, then we'll go to Megan on that concept. Because I think a lot of times we fall down or we're lax in saying, how can I help you? Or can I pray with you? Or whatever. Go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah, I believe that's true. We don't really voice maybe even what we're thinking about how we might be able to help them. Personally, I think, oh, well, Lord, help this person. Or I pray for them within my spirit, but I'm guilty of it too. I don't verbally say to that person, how can I help you with this? How can I help you fix this problem? Maybe there is a natural material way that we could help or offer assistance or guide them in the right direction to help them fix their problem. But yeah, we don't do that. I just kind of like, oh, yeah, I feel sorry and I'll pray for you. But literally, you know, don't do that. Don't reach out and say, how can I help you with this?
What if?
It's an extra step.
It's an extra step. Yes, it is.
And we're busy, so
yes,
know, we don't take the time.
It's an extra step. And what if we did take the time? What if we did care enough about what was going on that we would actually say, like Elisha did here, how can I help you? What can we do about this? Megan, let's have your take on this.
Well, to me, Elisha had a servant's heart. And that being of that, I don't want to say this, I'm not saying this to offend anyone, not that, you know, that we don't have servant's hearts, but you'll go that extra mile if you have the consciousness of Jesus, the consciousness
right.
of God, because you'll have a spirit's heart, a servant's heart,
right.
where no matter what you're faced with, whether it's a friend that's having a bad time, or like with this lady who lost her husband and she was in great debt, needed help, that you just take that extra step without even thinking, because you're operating out of love toward those people. And it's something that you don't even think of, because it just comes out of your mouth because of that caring nature that the Lord instills in us when we have that deep consciousness of Him.
Amen.
It puts us in a different position in front of people. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with both of you, everything you're saying. And I also want to propose that we can say, how can I help you? Because we know the helper. We know the Holy Spirit. You know, we started this show today with Holy Spirit fall, you know, Spirit fall. And when we walk hand in hand with the Spirit of the living God, then we are more aware that there is something bigger than us that can be the help here. Cindy, talk to me about that. It's awareness of God's presence. That's what I'm trying to say, I believe.
Well, you know, we know that God can help, and we know that He can solve all the problems.
Right.
Because we've experienced that.
Right.
So, with me, it's like, well, I'll just give it to God, pray for that person, give it to God, and let Him fix it.
Right.
But that kind of is like taking the responsibility off of me, because, hey, I might not have the time. I have a servant's heart, believe me. I love helping people.
Yes, you do.
Helping them receive the Lord's blessing.
Right.
But I think we just get too caught up in busy day-to-day life that we just put, and I'm getting so comfortable just putting everything on God, just giving it to Him and letting Him fix it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, maybe there's a fine line there where we become kind of selfish or lazy. I don't know.
Well, I think to speak.
I have the faith that I know God can help you
exactly.
with your problem, but.
And there's nothing wrong.
Do I really need to do anything about it?
Well, that's the question. There's nothing wrong with saying, I will pray for you, or, hey, would you like for me to pray with you right now? But there's also that whole element here where we are so in tune with the Spirit of the living God who lives and in us, walks with us, talks to us, that we are aware if he's nudging us to do something more than just pray right then or say, I'll pray later. And it's a matter of this relationship. That's what I want to get at. Megan, talk to me about this, because Elisha, first he says, how can I help you? And then in the next sentence, he must have felt this nudging within. He goes, tell me, what do you have in your house? And it's like all of a sudden God spoke to him, you're going to use something that she has to help her.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. That's the Holy Spirit. That's
yes.
the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this takes a level of boldness, but instead of, you know, saying, and I'm guilty of this, I'll pray for you. You're in my prayers, yada, yada. Well, you know, take another step and say, can we pray right now?
Right.
Can we pray right here? And even in social media, instead of just saying on someone's post, I'm praying, post the prayer right there.
What's wrong with that? Yes.
Yeah, let other people read that prayer and pray it in agreement, because there's power in prayer.
Exactly.
And there's power in numbers. And that will make a huge impact. I mean, could you imagine being out in public and you run into somebody and they're having a hard time and they stop you and they start, you know, letting you know what's going on, and you say, hey, can we pray right here? Can you imagine being in Walmart and seeing two people standing there with their heads bowed and they're praying, that the attention that would draw, and I mean that in a good way.
Right, exactly.
You took that step of boldness to just do it right then and there.
Wow, I know. And you know what? Don't you think a lot of times we feel inhibited to say, do you want me to pray with you right now? I mean, you could always walk over to a little corner and be a little secluded. You could always go out by your car. There are ways
right.
you could do this, right, Cindy? I mean, you don't have to just,
I'm in so much agreement with Megan, and that's what I love about Betty Thomas. She does that. She doesn't just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you.
Megan's mama.
She creates those prayers.
Yes.
Puts them on there.
Right.
So we can all pray it and agree, and that's where the power is. But
exactly.
I think that's the level of boldness that God wants to take us to.
Right.
But our inhibitions and our insecurities have kept us back.
Right. I agree.
But I really think this is the time that we're coming into that God is saying, be that bold.
Exactly.
It's just like Elisha asking the woman, what does she have in her house to work with? And that's, you know, that's what we can do to the people we encounter.
Right.
What can I do? Do you need food? Do you need clothing? Do you need a loan? Physically, what can
right.
we do? What can I do to make this easier for you? And
well,
I think if we start giving like that
yes.
in abundance from our hearts, going that extra level, that we're going to see so many blessings and prayers answered at a different level than what we're used to seeing.
Exactly. What did Jesus do in the Gospels, and it's there two or three times or more, when the disciples came to him and said, these people have been sitting here listening to you teach for hours, you know, and they're hungry. We need to go into town and buy them something. And Jesus said, what, Megan? What did he say to them?
He said, why? Bring me something.
He says, what do you have? He said, what do you have? It's the same concept here. And they said, well, we've only got, I mean, you can just see their faces. Oh, well, all we've got is two little fish and five little loaves of bread. You know, that's all we have. And he goes, okay, good. That'll work. Bring those here. You know, and what happened? What happened when he did that? They brought all that. He lifted those. You can just see his hands full of fish and bread. And he holds them up to heaven. And with his eyes open, he's not bowing his head and praying like we all think we have to do. He opens his eyes and looks to heaven and says, here, God, here's what we got. Now, you know, multiply this, bless this. And what happened? It fed thousands and thousands of people. It said 5,000 men, and then you got women and children. So let's say 15 or 20,000 people, and they had a bunch of leftovers from it. We're talking about multiplying the blessing right. that we have. Talk to me about that, Cindy, and then we'll go back to Megan.
Multiplying what we have to work with, and it's seed planting, and it's just like
it is. Yes.
Wanting that blessing. If you have a seed to put in,
right,
no matter how small it is,
right,
give that.
Yes.
And watch the Lord multiply it. Because he doesn't look at what we put in. He looks at the intention of our heart.
That's exactly right. Good point. Good point. And obviously, when Elisha realized that he needed to do something to help her, that God wasn't getting him off the stick here and he wasn't walking on down the road, she said, "Your servant has nothing there at all in her house and except a little oil." Except, Megan?
Mm. It only takes one thing. You know, and I, you know, back then I believe that that was a very well-wanted commodity.
It
was oil, right?
It was, yes, yeah. It was.
So that one thing can be multiplied.
Well,
it
was what was needed to make food, etc. It's kind of like olive oil, probably. And
sure.
Jesus hung out in the Mountain of Olives. We know that's where he went to pray. Olive oil, they'll tell you now, that's the best kind of oil to use when you're cooking, etc., right?
Right.
Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's why we're doing these songs today. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We're in this series right now called Going the Distance. And I propose that a lot of times we give up in the middle of our struggle. We give up in the middle of the journey because we feel like there's no answer. We don't have anything that God can use. We're not talented. We're not cute. We're not smart. We're not this. We're not that. We're not a missionary. We're not a pastor. And so we just kind of give up. And here, God is saying, wait a minute, I expect you to go the distance here. I expect you to look for what it is you have that can be used within you, around you, whatever. Talk to me, Cindy.
And that's just it. We have to go outside of the box in our thinking.
Yes.
And realize, what do we have
right.
to offer?
Right.
Or to submit as an offering.
Yes.
And being in tune with the Holy Spirit is listening to, as we said earlier, those nudgings.
Yes.
God will literally speak to us through his Spirit and give us those nudgings of what we should do. And I think a lot of times we just ignore it or think, oh, that wasn't God talking to me.
Right.
But I mean, this really hit home with me today because I read a story about a doctor in an ER who pronounced a man dead. I mean, he was dead.
Yeah.
Because they tried to revive him with those heart pump things, you know.
Yeah.
Those defibrillators, and he announced the time of death and walked out of the room. But God spoke to him and said, go back in there and lay hands and pray for that man. God, why? He's dead. I pronounced him dead. Go back in there and lay hands on that man and pray for him. The doctor's like, okay, God really is telling me to do this. And when he did, a heartbeat came back. The man woke up.
Right.
And the reason behind that was, the story goes, the man did not know about spending eternity with God, and God did not want that man to pass on without
wow.
knowing that God was there to carry him into his spirit. And
wow.
talk about a miracle.
Right.
But I think that's where we're going to start seeing the miracles that God wants to show this world is when we are obedient to those nudgings.
Yes,
we
yes.
will start seeing his power more and more.
Oh, I couldn't
but
agree
we
more.
Listen. We have
Ooh.
To listen.
we do. We got to listen to this song right now. One of my favorite songs. I only heard it for the first time probably about 3 years ago. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Martha Munizzi, and I love this song. And it can also mean, Holy Spirit, fill my heart.
Come on, lift up your hands wherever you are and just begin to worship.
Let's worship together.
And magnify Him. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Shekinah glory, sweet perfume. We need Your presence. We need You. Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Make that your prayer today, dear listener. Holy Spirit, come fill this room. Holy Spirit, come fill my heart afresh with Your presence, Your anointing, Your oil that will be used to help so many. Wow. Praise God. I love that song. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2, right at the end of 2. The woman says to Elisha, your servant has nothing there at all except a little oil. That's exactly all that was needed. And you know what all is needed for your in your life and in your situation is the power of God, the presence of God. Holy Spirit, come and fill this room. Come and fill my heart. Holy Spirit, come and do something new in me. That is the cry we should have. So Elisha says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, and I love this, and shut the door behind you. Shut the door behind you. Now, years ago, in 1992, I was privileged to minister in Honduras, pastors' conference, and in different churches. And I remember one night specifically, I was teaching this concept in Spanish, of course, to this congregation. And there was a side door over to the side of the platform. And I walked over there and I slammed that door. And people were jumping. They're like, whoa, you know, what was that all about, you know? And the concept here is you slam the door and keep out all the stuff that would keep you from your project. You slam the door on negativity, on pride, on worry, on fear that this isn't going to work. You slam the door. He said, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it over to the side. Now, she had a task to do. It was something specific. And so often, there's an actual task that God wants us to do. Perhaps it's forgive somebody. Perhaps it's go to somebody and say, you know what? I want to renew my relationship with you. It's gotten rocky. I want to straighten it out. Perhaps it is who knows, whatever it might be. But the point is, Elisha gave her a task to do, and she was to go borrow from all her neighbors all their empty containers. Now, that's kind of hard to explain. Megan, have you ever gone around your neighborhood and asked everybody for a mixing bowl or a pitcher?
No, I can say I have not had to do that.
Have you, Cindy? Have you done that, Cindy?
A cup of sugar, maybe. No, I've never done that.
Okay. So isn't it interesting?
I guess they would think I was crazy.
Wouldn't they? Yeah. And I mean, yeah. Okay, let's say these people know her because she was married to the prophet. And they come, she knocks on their door and she goes, I need a mixing bowl. Well, what do you want in it? Nothing. I want an empty bowl. You want an empty bowl? You know, I mean, you want a pitcher, but you don't want any water in it or milk or whatever the case may be. And you see, when we're empty vessels in need of a filling of the Holy Spirit, that's when God can move in our lives. Whoa, talk to me, Cindy, and then we'll go to Megan on this concept. She got as many empty bowls and pitchers as she could find.
Well, I think that's when we need him the most, when we're empty.
There you go.
And we need filled up.
Right.
He sees the need.
Yes.
It's about having faith to even believe in such a concept. I have nothing to start out with. I have an empty bowl. Or I have this little grain of faith, like the seed of the mustard, to work with, but that's all God is asking of us. Just have that much faith and believe that I can do this and watch me fill it up.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it took her obedience, right, to go get all those empty containers. It took her obedience. Talk to me, Meg.
It did take obedience, and it took her a level of boldness to go and ask for something, to go
right.
and ask her neighbors for something. And, you know, back then, and even now, that asking for something from maybe another neighbor that was struggling financially as well was tough to do for her.
Right.
And just to me, the semblance of asking for empty jars and then filling them with the olive oil is so symbolic of us as humans being empty vessels, and then when we, you know, bring the Lord into our lives and accept him into our hearts, that he fills us with that sweet oil, that sweet
Ooh,
spirit,
yes.
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's a cool symbolic scripture right there.
Oh, isn't it? Yes. And she didn't say, what? You mean you want me to go get empty containers from all my neighbors? They're going to think I'm crazy. I think we need to come into a new time where we obey God and listen, even though sometimes he may tell us to do some things that seem crazy to straighten out our lives or our problem or whatever, because he can use all kinds of different things. We can't even begin to guess. Cindy, you want to comment on that before I play the song that I feel led to play right now? Go ahead.
Well, I have learned that he can use all kinds of things, and he can use people that we least expect.
Right.
And he can use some of the junk in our lives and turn that into something good.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes.
what he does. He takes all that ugly that we carry around, or that negativity that we think is who we are, and he uses that, or he uses the bad things that happen to turn them around into good.
Oh.
Never underestimate the power that he has to use whatever is going on in your life to turn it around for his purpose.
And that verse is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen to this song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Take it for yourselves, audience. This is God's promise for you. I was not intending to play this song. God said do it. So here it is.
In ways we cannot see, he will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a new day.
Praise God. That's our God we serve. will make a way. Whatever you're going through right now, dear one, we want you to hear this. He'll make a way. Oh, amen and amen and amen. Talk to us, Cindy. Does God do that? Does he make a way where there seems to be no way, Cindy? Does he really do that?
God can do it all. All things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
He can make a way. And that's what I have had to learn.
Yes.
When I'm in despair and I'm in the negative thinking, the stinking thinking, and
yeah.
I feel like there's no way out of this mess that I'm in, God will make a way. He can. And
yes.
He does.
Yes.
If we ask him to. We have to ask.
Well, it's interesting. Yes, it's interesting that, you know, this lady here in 2 Kings 4, you know, basically she says that she's being realistic in verse 1. She says, he basically, you can think he probably went up to her and greeted her, and she goes, your servant, my husband's dead. He revered the Lord. Now the creditor's coming. They're going to take away my sons into slavery to pay the debt. I mean, she didn't hesitate to say, here's the problem. Megan, talk to us about that. So often it's almost like we are afraid to approach God with what the situation really is.
Sure. And excuse me. I can understand that there's a level of inhibition that comes from, you know, letting it out, letting someone know that you need help.
Right.
It's hard to sometimes for people to say, hey, I'm hurting. Hey, I need help. Something's
right.
happened.
Right.
But with the Lord, there should be no level of embarrassment. There should be no level of inhibition, because even though you may not speak the words with your mouth, the Lord knows all.
Right.
And he knows the problem, and you don't even have to say anything. The only thing that you have to speak is help me. And that provision will come. You have to believe the provision will come. And just like the lady did with Elijah is, you know, she greeted him, but the first thing she did, she was not embarrassed to admit that she needed help.
Right.
And that's what we need to be like. We need to be free of any fear or doubt that we can talk to the Lord, just as this lady reached out to Elijah, is we can reach out for anything.
Well, amen. And Elisha told her what to do. Go get the empty containers. Come back. Shut the door. Cindy, make a comment on this before we get to the top of the hour here. Would you comment on this whole thing of shutting the door on the obstacles that try to steal our blessings? Because this is a real important concept.
Well, it's hard. It's hard for us because a lot of times it might be a relationship. It might be a habit. It's something that we're comfortable with.
Right.
And we don't really want to let it go.
Right.
And we have to sometimes make ourselves and know, this is holding me back. This is an obstacle. This is a stumbling block. I have got to cut it loose.
Right.
It's
right.
an act of will and an act of choice.
Good point. And a lot of times people
like
have...
Go ahead.
Go on with that.
Well, Megan was saying that we are sometimes embarrassed or we are feeling unworthy. We don't feel like God even hears us or knows what's going on because we don't matter, because we're
right.
so insignificant.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize, that God does see all. He sees your heart. He sees your need. Before you even ask him,
right.
he's already got a plan.
Woo.
But it takes a while to get that concept down in us.
It does.
For a new believer.
Comment on that, Meg, before we get to the commercial hour or the top of the hour for our station ID. Go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with Cindy. Is shutting the door is a huge significance on growing and moving out of the problem, because
right.
you have to get rid of the distractions. You have to get rid of the naysayers. You have to get rid of the stuff that's distracting you
yeah.
from coming out of your problem into your provision.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to shut the door sometimes, but it's a necessity.
Yes. Well, I find that very fascinating here, that he makes a point of, he doesn't just say, go ahead and then fill everything with the oil. He says, shut the door before you begin to pour interesting.